The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Wednesday, April 8, 2009, and Presidential Release number 372. I begin the release with the news that Elsie Lamp, the President of the National Federation of the Blind of Idaho, married Larry Dickerson on March 7, 2009. Congratulations to Elsie and Larry. Elsie called me the other day and she said that she wanted to introduce a new president of the National Federation of the Blind of Idaho, Elsie Dickerson. So, congratulations to the two of you. I am sorry to have to report that Michael C., who has served for some time now as the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Tennessee, died during the first week of March. He had apparently had a heart attack and fell and hurt himself very severely in the fall, and he didn't survive it. I had the good fortune to attend the National Federation of the Blind of Tennessee Convention. James Broadnax is our new president there. He was serving as vice president, so of course he moved up into the presidency. He has been a member of the National Federation of the Blind since 1973. He is a man with a good heart. I'm sure he will do fine as president. I'm sorry, however, to have to tell you of Michael C.'s death. You might keep Michael and the National Federation of the Blind of Tennessee in your prayers. On the last presidential release, I talked about the Prodigy Voice blood glucose measuring device, and I said that some people were having trouble getting this device paid for by insurance. And so Cheryl Echevarria, who is the treasurer of the Long Island chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of New York, has sent a message to me saying that she is a certified insurance processing specialist, and she can help people to get the Prodigy Voice as an item paid for by insurance if you want her to do so. Cheryl Echevarria, this is Cheryl Echevarria, may be reached at 631-236-5138, or her email address is Cheryl and Max. This is Cheryl and Max at hotmail.com. I appreciate Cheryl's being willing to be of help in this matter. The convention of the National Federation of the Blind is coming, as I have said on some other releases, and as you all know. Pre-registration for the convention may be accomplished at www.nfb.org/registration. It is cheaper if you register ahead of time. It costs $20 at the convention, or $15 if you do it before coming to the convention. It is also a matter that will help your convention experience because you will not stand in the lines waiting for registration. And because people have been pre-registering at an enormous rate, we do not have as many people prepared to do registration at the convention as in former times. So please pre-register. Also, the banquet ticket is cheaper if you do. The banquet ticket costs $40 at the convention, but it will be $35 if you register ahead of time. So your pre-registration and banquet cost $50 together if you get it done before the convention, or $60 if you wait till the convention time, and it also takes more time and is more trouble at the convention. So keep in mind that you have all manner of advantages by pre-registering. Also, you must get a room at the hotel. Pre-registering gets you registered for the convention, but it doesn't get you a place to sleep. We are at the Marriott Marquis Renaissance Center in Detroit, and the telephone number to call to get a room at the convention is 800-266-9432. So please make your reservation at the hotel and pre-register for the convention. At the convention, we will be having the March for Independence. Kevin Worley serves as the president of the National Federation of the Blind Merchants Division, or the Blind Merchants of the National Federation of the Blind. He is also the chairperson for the March for Independence. And as I sometimes say to Kevin, raise your money. And as he sometimes says to me, raise your money. Because one of the things that people do not believe is possible for blind people is a March for Independence, an activity that gets hundreds or thousands of us on the street and demonstrates our independence by marching a substantial distance, more than many people would undertake, but blind people are doing it. They think that blind people mostly have to sit at home and wait for somebody else. And I can tell you one thing that I am not going to do is wait for somebody else. I have never been willing to wait. I have been told to wait my whole life. So raise your money, register for the March for Independence, be prepared to be on the street in Detroit, and here is Kevin Worley for an announcement about it.
Thank you, Dr. Maurer. You know, while many of us are telling all of our friends and families and neighbors to go to braille.org to link to the U.S. Mint and order the coin, we cannot forget marchforindependence.org. Make sure you're registered for the Motown March for Independence. It's going to be an event to remember. Let's not make the mistake of thinking that just because we marched in Atlanta and Dallas, that Detroit will be just another walking little rally. This is Motown, baby. This convention's march will be a distinctive blend of style and energy, civil rights, fundraising, again demonstrating the independent spirit and true capacity of the blind. It'll be a celebration of the Federation on the Detroit Riverfront. Your March Planning Committee has heard you. We are planning not just one route this year. We are planning two routes, one for the more hardy among us and one of only a few blocks. And we'll be able to enter the rally site on the riverfront at about the same time to rally together in Federation spirit. We will be joined by Detroit City Councilwoman and former Motown star Martha Reeves of Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, and we'll be adding luminaries over the next weeks and months as we lead up to the convention. So encourage family, friends, coworkers to make a contribution in your name. The economy is tough. We know, we hear about it every day. And that's all the more reason for us to give the Imagination Fund our very best second, third, and fourth effort this year. Many are finding success by forming teams, chapters, affiliates, divisions, special interest groups, families, groups of friends. You can encourage each other. Get a little competition going. Having a team enhances your personal fundraising because your teammates will bring different skills and approaches. Share in the success. Join teams like Team NAGDU, Rough Rough Pet Care, the Merchant Money Machine, Blind Vets in Action, and the Imaginators. Do not forget all of the tools we have which can help you raise the money for the March for Independence and the Imagination Fund. We have brochures, the handy mini march cards, which have Braille and print. I hand them out to almost everyone I meet. Call for information, and Christy Bowman will send you the materials. Call her at 410-659-9314, extension 2406. And, of course, the March for Independence website. We can help you build your own personal profile page And just in time for Mother's Day, make a donation and send Mom an e-card from marchforindependence.org. Register. Start raising your $250. Aim high. Be a star imaginator. We'll see you in Detroit for the March for Independence early the morning of Monday, July 6th. Thank you, Dr. Maurer.
Robert Leslie Newman is the president of the Writers Division of the National Federation of the Blind, and there will be a seminar for writers at the convention attended by Lev Raphael, a Michigan writer. I have an announcement from Robert Leslie Newman here about the convention, which says, "Are you a writer or a person who loves to read? The Writers Division invites you to come visit with Mr. Lev Raphael, a Michigan author of the fictional series The Nick Hoffman Mysteries, and several nonfiction volumes, including the April release of My Germany, a biographical journey to trace his parents' roots, both Holocaust survivors. The event is Friday, July 3rd, seminar day, from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. It is open to all interested parties. There will be a charge of $5 paid at the door. Watch the convention schedule for the room number," says Robert Leslie Newman. You may have remembered him from last year's Bolotin Award. You may also remember him from his Thought Provokers that he puts together. Here is an announcement from Alan Harris. It says, "The 2009 Kenneth Jernigan Convention Scholarships will be awarded by April 15th. All applications, applicant letter, and president's recommendation must be received before the 15th of April. Any applications received after this deadline will not be considered during this scholarship year. Thanks to all of you who have submitted applications and have been awarded 09 convention scholarships. We anticipate that perhaps as many as 60 individuals will receive grants to attend the convention, averaging in the neighborhood of perhaps as many as $600. Please contact the Kenneth Jernigan Convention Scholarship Committee if you have questions. The email address is Allen, that's A-L-L-E-N dot Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, at adwx.com. Or you can call him at 205-655-8221. This is from Alan Harris, chairperson of the Kenneth Jernigan Convention Scholarship Committee. I think that's all I have for convention announcements at the moment, except that I look forward to seeing all of you at our convention in Detroit from the 3rd through the 8th of July in 2009. It'll be a great time. If you have anything for the convention agenda, you must get it in soon. Since our last presidential release, we had the Louis Braille coin launch here at the National Center for the Blind on March 26, and a spectacular event it was. We had representatives from the White House here. We had representatives of NASA here. We had the director of the Mint who came, and we had hundreds of people who participated. The last part of the announcements that were made from the podium during the coin launch program was one from NASA. The education director of NASA said that two of our coins, the proof coin and the uncirculated coin, would be placed on the space shuttle that is to be launched into space in May. So Louis Braille, he started in a very small house in Couperet, France. He invented this symbol set that we use for reading and writing all over the world. And now Braille is going into space. It is an exciting time when blind people and the tools that we use are being recognized not only at our own hometown, but throughout the world and even into space. Also, since that time, we held our CANE event. We have been talking about the March for Independence, and we've been talking also about the downturn in the economy. Well, our CANE event occurred on the 4th of April. This is the event during the spring that we have sometimes called the celebration. We are taking an idea, which is that blind people have capacity and that the tools that blind people use should be celebrated. The cane is a symbol of independence. So we had our CANE event, and this year we hope to be able to report, all of the numbers are not yet in, but we hope to be able to report that we have raised as much or at least almost as much this year in the CANE event as we did last year. This is money that goes into our Imagination Fund. Also, during March, I went to the University of Notre Dame. I was talking about it on the last release, and I made a speech, and I talked about what it was that we as blind people have to contribute to our society. The beginning of the speech, I said that I'd worked on it for quite a while, but the beginning of it is part of our philosophy, and it says that joy and blindness may be thought about at the same time and that they come together in the thought process. Most people think that when you contemplate the subject of blindness, you have to be sad. Well, we're not sad. As a matter of fact, we're thinking about ways to make contributions and to do new things and be excited and help to build our society. And that's what the speech was about. So that speech is given. We'll be publishing it one of these days. Also, since our last presidential release, the Mutual of America Company came here to the National Center for the Blind and put on an awards luncheon and presented to us an award of $15,000 for the work that we did in recognition of the substantial efforts we've been making in the education of blind children through our Youth Slam effort that happened 2 years ago. We are doing another Youth Slam in 2009. It should be an exciting time. I look forward to that. It will be after the National Convention. Terry Rupp is the president of the National Association of Blind Students, the student division of the National Federation of the Blind, and she came here and put together a truly outstanding seminar for blind students at the National Center for the Blind. So congratulations to the students. It is the beginning of an exciting period of building student organizations that will be carried forward at our national convention. I may not have mentioned this on a previous release, but if not, I should. Barbara Cheadle has been a worker in the National Federation of the Blind for many years. She's served as president of our Parents of Blind Children organization for a quarter of a century. She has also edited our Future Reflections magazine, which is for parents and educators of blind children. She has indicated that she will be retiring at the beginning of May. And, of course, we wish her all the best and excitement in the next part of her career. She has long had a wish to participate in programs of library service for children, and she will be doing some of that. This, of course, means that there will be a change in the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children and in the editorship of the Future Reflections magazine, and we're working on that at the moment. It means that there's a time of slight uncertainty and also of working out the details of where we're going and what we're doing, but we're getting through it, and we should have the answers to the questions soon. In the meantime, wish Barbara Cheadle all the best and tell her that her efforts have been recognized for the valuable service that she's provided. She brought the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children into being largely because of her wish to share her ideas and get other people's ideas about how to help blind children, and it has been a masterful effort. Yesterday, we had an event in New York City. We have been told that the new book device produced by the Amazon Corporation, the Kindle, could read books out loud with a text-to-speech program, and we're delighted to hear this. Now, we were a little annoyed because the Amazon company did not make the controls on the machine accessible. Then the Authors Guild got its oar into the water and said, yeah, but if you make the books hearable, that means that you have taken rights from us that belong to us. And we said, come on now, you can't be serious about this. If you buy a book, then you have a right to read it. And you have a right to read it in any way that you want. Either you can hand it to somebody and get them to read it out loud to you, or you can put it on a scanner and get a scanning machine to read it, or you can put it on a Kindle and get the Kindle to read it. What's the difference between this and all the other ways? And they said, yeah, but we might be able to record it. And if we record it, we might be able to sell it twice, once in print and once in recorded form. And we responded to this by saying, yeah, but you can't sell it twice to us because we can't see the print copy. So anyway, there got to be quite an argument about it. And the Authors Guild first said it wanted to talk it over with us and then said it wasn't going to. So we asked all the people we knew about who might like to talk about this if they'd like to join with us, and we got a coalition of reading rights people together that consisted of 29 or 30 organizations, and we held a public information gathering. This is sometimes called a picket line in New York yesterday, and we had between 300 and 400 people there, and there were lots of chants and a whole lot of leafleting. We leafleted 6,000 leaflets or thereabouts, and we got a lot of coverage on lots of different programs, and we had presentations by at least a dozen of the members of the Reading Rights Coalition, and I must say we got the attention of the Authors Guild, and one of these times maybe we will be talking about whether or not we are violating the Copyright Act, which of course we have no intention of doing and don't believe we are doing. We think that they're making it up as they go along. Once you buy the book, it belongs to you and you can do with it what you like. If you buy a song, are you permitted to sing it in the shower, as some of my colleagues have said? Or if you sing it in the shower, have you violated the Copyright Act? Well, we don't think so. So anyway, we have made a substantial difference in doing our picket line in New York yesterday, and I finished up yesterday's presentations about what we wanted to get out of our public demonstration yesterday in New York by saying that this is the first of a number of events that will be conducted to bring to the attention of the public and the Authors Guild the need of the print disabled to be able to get at information in non-visual ways. As I said, this is the beginning. This is not the end. This is item number one. Get ready for the next event. And I hope the Authors Guild is paying attention because I really meant it. In other words, it's an exciting time to be alive, and this brings me to the end of the presidential release. And here are some jokes from Patricia Maurer, who says, did you hear about the lawyer who was in the restaurant and didn't like what was presented as those offerings for dinner? He asked for a change of menu. Or she says, two cannibals were eating a comedian, and one said to the other, does this taste funny to you?
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.